If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to the Old Testament, the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, toward the beginning of the Bible. We have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then the book of Numbers. And we're turning to chapter 23 and verse 19. Numbers 23, verse 19, and I'm just going to read out the very first part of the verse. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie. That is our subject this morning. That is our theme and our focus. I'm not going to look at the verses roundabout, only just to make some very brief comments by way of introduction, just to set a framework in which to work in. This passage, well, the Israelites, we all know, were led out of Egypt. And at this stage, they're at the gateway to the promised land. They're not too far off. But there is a king called Balak, the king of Moab, who, he fears the Israelites. He fears the people of God, and he wants to destroy them. He wants to do away with them. But instead of amassing an army against the Israelites, he knows that won't work. He calls upon a man called Balaam. Balaam, who is like a spiritualist, a medium, perhaps you would call him. And he asks this man, Balaam, put a curse on the Israelites. Put a curse on them so that they will go away, so that they won't trouble us. We fear these Israelites, but if you put a curse on them, then maybe they'll go away. And Balaam attempts to put a curse on the Israelites. He tries several times, but he can't. He can't do it, because every time he tries to put a curse on the people of God, God himself speaks to him and compels him instead to pronounce a blessing on God's people. Balaam tries to curse them, but God moves in him. You can't curse God's people. You have to bless them. And that is what Balaam does. And these are Balaam's words. God is not a man that he should lie. I can't put a curse on God's people, because God has promised to protect his people. God has promised to lead them into the promised land. And he is not a man that he will lie to them. So I can't curse them. I can't touch them at all. God has promised to protect them. I can do nothing about it. He's going to keep his promise. God is not a man that he should lie. Well, that's the context, but we're not going to speak about the context or about Balaam or Balak. We're just going to look at these words because they're so full of meaning for us and application. And we're going to look at this verse in three ways. First of all, we're going to look at the implication of these words. They imply something. Then we're going to look at the affirmation of these words. Something is affirmed by these words. And then finally, the application of these words. God is not a man that he should lie. Well, what is the implication of this? These words here, God is not a man that he should lie. Well, the implication, of course, is that every man is a liar. That's what's implied by this verse. If God is not a man that he should lie, well, then that means that every man, every human being lies. Is that too strong? Is that too much for us this morning? It's implying that it's in man's nature to be untrue, to be deceitful in some way, to be dishonest, to want to hide something, to conceal something, to break a promise. This is what is implied by this verse. This is what man is. He is a liar by nature. And well, how can we set about examining this? Well, we can look back through history. We have such a long, rich history to look back on, the history of mankind. Well, what do we see when we look back at history? We see so many wars, so many conflicts. Many people say that religion is the cause of all wars. But I would say that wars and conflicts and strifes come about because men lie to other men. We're so dishonest. We lie to one another. That's why war and conflicts begin. A leader of one country lies to the leader of another country. Oh, I'm not going to invade this country. No, I just want to be peaceful. I'm not going to take that territory. I'm not going to take that territory. But he's lying. He's being dishonest. And he takes everything as much as he wants. And well, because he's lied, there is war, there is conflict. This is the cause of all wars and human strife and trouble, because we lie to one another. And well, you think of other things. Government in peacetime doesn't have to be in war. You think of politicians who want to be voted, who want to get into power. They normally come up with a whole list of promises. I'm going to do this, this, and this if I get into power. And then when they come into power, hardly a single one is fulfilled. Because really, they were being dishonest. They weren't really intending to bring all these things in once they got into power. They were just wanting to tell you what you wanted to hear. They were being dishonest. They were lying to you because they wanted to get into power. It's in man's nature to be dishonest and to be deceitful, right at the very highest level. But not just at the highest level, of course. Common man can lie. We all lie constantly. Is there anybody in here who can honestly say he's never lied or she's never lied? Of course we have. I remember watching a video of a street evangelist, and he was asking people about the Ten Commandments, and which of the Ten Commandments did they think that they had kept, and which of the commandments did they think they had broken? And many people, well, he would say, have you ever stolen anything? People would say, no. Have you ever killed anyone? No. Have you ever committed adultery? No. But then when he asked them, have you ever told a lie? They would all say yes. Oh, yes, yes, I've told a lie. Well, who hasn't told a lie? Everybody lies. It seems that we all know and understand that to lie is to be human. If you've never told a lie, you can't be human. You must be some sort of robot or something, or some sort of machine. If you are human, you must have told a lie. And so, well, the truth of these words start to come out, don't they? God is not a man that he should lie, but man, of course, does lie. And you think about when it starts. Lying starts in infancy, when we're children. And think about who children lie to the most. Their own parents, the one whom they love the most in this world. They lie to them. And you don't have to teach children to lie. You don't send them to lying school. This is how you lie. No, it comes so naturally to them. Lying, it's natural to us. Dishonesty, deceit. These words are very true. The implication of them: God is not a man that he should lie, but all men do and will lie. Now, I want to put to you two fundamental reasons why we lie. There are two reasons why we lie, as far as I can see, and let me put them before you this morning. Two motivations. The first motivation: we lie to make us look better than we are. To make us look more wonderful than we are, bigger and better. I'm sure many of you have a CV, a curriculum vitae that you've used to try and apply for a job. Well, I'm sure many of us, if not all of us, when we put the skills on our CV, we just try and embellish it a little. Maybe some skills we don't even really have. We don't really have good IT skills. We're not really that good at time management. We're not really very conscientious, but we'll just put it anyway. We're lying in a way to make ourselves look better because we want to be employed. We're lying, of course, to big ourselves up, make me look better than I am, tell the employer what they want to hear. Not the truth. No, we don't want that. More commonly, perhaps, if people ask us how we are, how are you, how are you doing? More often than not, we'll say, oh, I'm doing very well, thank you. Yes, I'm doing very well, I'm very happy, this happened and that happened. Actually, the truth, perhaps, is you're not doing very well. You're struggling with various things. You're in despair over something. You're very sad. You're very depressed. But if somebody asked you, you'll just say, oh, yes, I'm fine. Because you want people to think you're better than you actually are. That's a reason why we lie. We want people to believe, oh, yes, I'm wonderful. I'm very contented. Thank you. I'm better than I actually am. That is one of the great reasons why we lie. The other reason that I want to put to you, the other reason we lie, is to avoid the consequences of the things we have done wrong. To avoid punishment, if you like. We've spoken about children lying to their parents. And think about all the times that happens. A child does something wrong, makes a mess of his bedroom or the living room, spills something on the kitchen table because he's been misbehaving. The father comes in, asks the child, is it you who's done all this mess? Is it you who did this, this, and this? And the child thinks, well, if I say yes, if I tell the truth, I'm in for it. There's a punishment coming. So the child, of course, will say, no, it wasn't me. It was my brother. It was my sister. He doesn't want to be punished, so he'll lie, avoiding that punishment, a great motivation. We take it into our adult life, of course we do. In the workplace, if we do something wrong, and we know it's because we've been lax, we've been cutting corners, and then there are severe consequences, get pulled before the office manager. Oh, we so try and blag our way out of it, lie our way out of it. It wasn't entirely my fault. It was my superior's fault or my other colleague's fault. Just try and lie your way out of it. I can't take the music. I don't want to face the consequences. So we lie. And this is in man's nature. This is what is implied by these words. And well, we remember that, but let's just move on to what these words affirm. They are implied. There are things implied by this verse. But these words affirm something. God is not a man that he should lie. They affirm something about God. Confirm, declare something about God. If man lies, God is not a man. God does not lie about anything at all. God always tells us the truth. That is what is affirmed by these words. Of course, it's not just that God does not lie. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. It would go against everything that he is. If God could lie, that means that God could sin. And if God could sin, well, then he is no longer God anymore. If God sins, he is no longer God. It would go against himself. Everything about him would be over. God cannot lie. He cannot sin because he is God. So he always tells us the truth. God is truth. He is not a man that he should lie. But then, of course, we have to remember, and it is true, that God did become a man. God came down from heaven to earth, and he became a man. He took on human flesh. But he was no ordinary man. He wasn't a man who could lie. He was both God and man. God and man. Yes, he was man, but because he was God, he could not sin. He could not lie. Everything that came out of his mouth was pure, perfect truth. Like us in every way, but without sin, he did not lie. He could not lie. God and man. And well, this is testified throughout the gospel record about his words of truth, Christ's words of truth. John the Apostle, when he writes his gospel, he says about the time that he spent with the Lord Jesus Christ, "We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." And notice what he says about him, "full of grace and truth." Full of truth. Christ Jesus was full of truth. There was no room for falsehood in him. There was no room for lying in him. He was full of truth. No room for any falsehood or dishonesty at all. He was full of truth. And this is glorious. He actually said he was the truth. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And what a tremendous thing it is to think about. The truth is not just an idea or a concept. It's a person. The truth is a person. I am the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth, the way, and the life. Well, he also said after that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." He presents himself as the only way to God. This is how the Lord Jesus Christ presents himself. The only way to God. "No man cometh to the Father but by me." The only way. Can we really believe that? Are there not so many religions? Some people ask me, "How do you know what religion is the right religion? How do you know so many religions? Everyone has its claims. Which one is the right one?" Well, what I always seek to tell them is that a religion is worthless if it does not teach you the truth. A religion is worthless if it is not based and fixed upon truth. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, he is the truth. And the Christian faith is based on him. Your religion is worthless if it's not fixed in truth. Maybe there are some here, possibly, who put their faith in other religions. Well, other religions, I must say, they are dishonest to us. They lie to us. So many religions make you out to be better than you are. Remember the reasons why we lie? To make ourselves better than we are. So many religions make you out to be better than you are. "Oh, you're a good person. You're a spiritual person. You're a moral person. You can be right with God." The religion is lying to you. It's making you out to be better than you are. "Oh, you're not a sinner. You don't need to worry about those things. You're a good person. You can be accepted by God. Do you have a religion that teaches that?" The religion itself is lying to you, and you have to be very careful. Does your religion say to you that you can avoid punishment? You can avoid punishment. "Oh, there's no judgment. You don't have to give an account of your life to God. Don't worry about all those things. Don't worry about your sin. That won't come back to you. There'll be no consequences for that. If you stand before God, he'll just let you into heaven. There's no punishment. You don't have to confess your sin. You don't have to repent of your faith." Do you follow a religion that believes that? It's lying to you. It's not based on truth. It's a man-made religion. And man can lie to us, but God is not a man that he should lie. Well, I remember when I was seeking after God. And when I was seeking after God, I wasn't seeking after religion. I wasn't seeking after morality to be a good person or spirituality. I was seeking after truth. That was what I was seeking for. Not to be a good person, to be religious, after truth. And well, when I read the Bible, I could see the truth in the Word of God. I could see the truth about myself. For so long I had lied to myself, thinking I'm a good person. Oh, I'm so wonderful, I'm so moral. But when I read the Word of God, it showed me the truth. I wasn't a good person. and I'd sinned against God. And if I continued sinning, well, then I would be heading for punishment. There'd be no avoiding it for me. Christ would come, I would stand before him, I would be eternally lost because of all my sin. That was the truth. I was seeking after the truth, but then I read that most wonderful truth that, well, Christ has gone to the cross for me. If I trust in him, I know that he has taken the punishment for me. He has saved me so that I may be forgiven all my sin. That was the most glorious truth. Yes, I'm a sinner, but Christ has taken the punishment for you. Well, do you know that truth, dear friends? Do you have that salvation? It is so important that you do. But how can we have that salvation? We have to apply these verses. Implication, affirmation. But well, these words mean nothing if you don't apply these verses to you. God is not a man that he should lie. How can I apply them for my salvation? Well, really, we can sum it up in two words. How to apply these words? Trust him. Trust him. Trust God. Trust in God. We find it so hard to trust people nowadays. We find it so hard to trust one another. No matter how sincere people come across, there's always something in the back of your mind. Oh, he might not be honest with me. He might be pulling a fast one. There are so many evil, wicked people. I don't know if I can trust that person or this person. But you can trust God. God is not a man that he should lie. You can trust him. Put all your trust in him. The Lord Jesus Christ said, him that cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out. You seek him, he will never turn you away. Trust it, even the weakest of us, even the least spiritual, the least religious of us, even the most sinful of us. Just trust him. Just go to God and seek his salvation, and you will not be cast out. He will receive you, and trust him that he will forgive you. Confess your sin before him. This is how you apply the words. Confess your sin, knowing that when you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin. Some people say, if I confess my sin, won't God tell me off? Won't God punish me? No, trust him that all you will receive is forgiveness and mercy and kindness. Trust him because Christ has suffered and died for you. Christ has taken the punishment upon himself. There is no condemnation for you. Trust that with all your heart and trust him with your life. Some people, and I was like this, think, I want to become a Christian, but I have great fears. I fear that I will be the worst Christian ever. I fear that I'll do so many things wrong. I won't be a very good Christian. I'll do this wrong, I'll do that wrong. I'll go back into my old sins. I'll be a complete failure. Well, my answer to that is, of course, trust God. Just come to God and confess all your sin, and God will give you a new life. He will give you that strength to help you overcome your sin. You will see in yourself that you are able to be victorious over all the things you struggled with before. All those fears and doubts that you had, they're gone. Just trust him. He will take those all away. God is not a man that he's going to lie to you. Just trust in him and he will make all things well and good. And even if you do fall into sin, even if you do fall into sin, God is there to pick you up and restore you and love you. Just as a father picks up a child who has stumbled on the floor, God will pick you up and say, I forgive you. You trust in Christ, I forgive you. Trust in God. That is the great application of these words, inviting you to trust wholly in him. So trust in the truth of God. I was speaking to somebody just the other day, a Christian woman, but she said that she was unsaved as a teenager, and it was actually her mother who was converted before her. Her mother was dramatically converted, and she was so full of zeal for the Lord. She loved the Lord. But this lady, as a teenager, she didn't like it. She would try and talk her mother out of it, try and raise objections. She would try to unconvert her mother, to go back to the old mother. She didn't like her Christian mother at all. But she told me that even when I was being rebellious, even when I was trying to convince my mother to turn back, I knew that deep down I knew that this word was true, that God's word was true. I was being rebellious, I was making all sorts of objections, but deep down I knew that the word of God was true. And well, there are so many people who reject the Christian faith, who rebel against it, have all sorts of objections, but deep down they know it is the truth. Why would you reject it if you know that it is the truth? Why would you rebel against it when you know it is the truth? One day Christ will come. You will see him. And on that day you will realize, oh, I knew it was the truth. I knew it was the truth, but I never wanted to become a Christian. I just wanted to continue lying to myself, thinking I was better than I was, thinking that this day of punishment would never come. I was happy to continue lying to myself. Why didn't I believe the truth? I knew it was the truth. Why didn't I trust in God? Oh, may it not be said of any one of us that we rejected the truth. We heard it so often, every Sunday coming into this place, hearing the truth and yet rejecting it. What a terrible tragedy that will be for so many people. But let it not be said amongst this people who gather in this place every week that we heard the truth and rejected it. Trust in God, dear friends. Go to him, seek him, give him your life, because God is not a man that he should lie. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious and wonderful, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that although we cannot trust in this world, we cannot trust wholly in one another, we can trust in thee. Thou art the God who is perfect truth and life and love, and who calls us to know that truth for him, for ourselves. O Lord, may we live in the light of that truth all our days and be saved at the very end. Lord, forgive us all our sin and all our rebellion. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.